TV, and this series that we're doing is called Bible Mythbusters, and it's off play off of that old TV show Mythbusters and everything. But there are things in the Word of God that some people in churches think is taboo. They're myths, and we just want to, you know, there's a stigma to some of those things, and according to where we're going to jump in Acts chapter 2, verse 12, we're going to see here that after Jesus was on the earth, and after Jesus, you know, lived on the earth for 30 years, and then 3 years in the ministry, you know, of just pouring himself into others, right? He goes to the cross, dies, rises again three days later, is on the earth for 40 days with the disciples, and then he says, I must go so that he might come, talking about the Holy Spirit, right? And then tells them to go and wait, and he goes, and Jesus ascends to heaven and is now seated on the right hand of the Father, right? And then he says, and the disciples go, and they're waiting in the upper room, 120 of them, and then the Holy Spirit is poured out in Acts chapter 2, and what has been said is a very demonstrative way. And, you know, the tongues of fire fell, and they began to speak in other tongues, right? And then, you know, with the myth that we're busting in certain subjects in the Word of God, we're going to find right here, Acts chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. It says that the crowd heard them being filled with the Spirit, but they heard them speaking in tongues. And the verse 12 says that the crowd was amazed and perplexed. They asked each other, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them that they have had too much wine. And I propose, and I brought to the table during this series that there are individuals that if you do not understand some things in the Bible, you're either going to do one of two things. You're going to push them away because you don't understand them, or you're going to make fun of them because you don't understand them. And so the dangerous thing about this is that these are things that God has given us, so to push them away or to make fun of them is not good, because these are so important for us to have. And we talked about part one was the person of the Holy Spirit, right? Part two was the importance of praise and worship. And what is praise? What is worship? And all of our messages are archived. You can go to the church website. You can listen to them. You can go to YouTube. You can go to the archive. You can watch services, you know, and go back. And then so there was a two-parter with praise and worship. And then we went into, you know, Pastor Kathy did a fantastic job about talking about the importance of our country and the importance of voting, and took a Sunday up on that. She felt so passionate about that. So, hey, we're going to put that in the middle of this. And then here we are. Last week we talked about healing. And I believe we could not really unwrap the entire message in one Sunday. So we said, we know we're going to continue it, because I truly believe we talked a lot about the whys last week. And I appreciate everyone's awesome responses of how, you know, we got very, very transparent and notable talking about my father and his, when he passed away, and Juliana when she went through what she went through, our daughter when she was for the first 3.5 months of her life, in the NICU at Arnold Palmer, you know, in Orlando, and fighting for her life, you know. And so here we are. I believe that this part of healing is so important, but as we jump into this, before we get there, let's backtrack and talk about what Peter did here. Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, and then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. And that's what I'm attempting to do. What we're attempting to do during this series, you know, is we're explaining these things to you, you know, and then he goes on to say right here, Peter goes on to say, listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 in the morning. No, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And he was saying, listen, guys, listen, you think it's that, but it's not that. It's really this. And they're not drunk. It's not that. It's this. This is what the prophet Joel talked about. This is what was prophesied, what we've been told to be waiting on for years and years and years. And the reason why you're making fun of it is because you don't understand it. So people making fun of people, or they push away the Holy Spirit, right? People making fun of, push away. They don't understand praise. They don't understand worship, right? And you know, they don't understand healing. And so that's why we're talking about this. And next week, we're going to be talking about prosperity in the church. And so, because that is the number one reason why people don't go to church. It's not God, it's not other people, it's not hypocrites or anything else. It is money. And it's a deception. They don't understand. So here we are, and this is where we're basing this off of. And so last week we talked about healing. And so let's pray, and then we're going to jump right in this, because I believe that you cannot understand totally healing. You really cannot understand healing without understanding faith. And we're going to be talking heavily on about faith this morning. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your presence already in this place. I thank you, Father God, that we come into this place, the house of God. Tune in, Father God, we're watching wherever we're watching from, whatever platform we're watching from on the other side of that screen. We come into this place not to be entertained, but we come into this place to be drastically changed, that we can truly say it was awesome to be in the house of the Lord, and that we can walk out of this place changed by your power, by the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Father God, that we can, that the Word of God can shed light in areas that we might even not know that we're in darkness in. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. And all our church family said, amen, 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 amen. Listen, James chapter 5 is so important. I know we read this last week, but it's our springboard, really, honestly, for these past couple messages in regards to healing. James chapter 5, verse 13. Through 15, it says, is anyone among you, this basically right here, I can set this up, is the Bible talks of, you know, probably the clearest scripture, in my opinion, of people who are sick getting well. And so, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Then let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we did that last week. We prayed for individuals that wanted to be anointed with oil, and we prayed for, and there's lots of both services. And so continuing on, the Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so that you may be, that word, healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, we dissected that scripture, and I gave you three things last week that I'm not going to get into this week, but we do need to springboard off of this, because faith is not an instant the way we would like it to be. Faith is a journey. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning, is your faith journey, our faith journey as children of God. And the word healing, in this specific passage of scripture right here in James chapter 5, it's different from the body kind of healing, like, being healed of a migraine or a broken arm and you're healed, or, this is different. It's referring to an inner healing. It's a word that is something deeper in your life that gets healed. And so, because I believe with all of my heart that we want the end result. We're only interested in the end result. We're interested in the now, the quick. Now they have pasta, pre-cooked pasta in these little baggies that you stick in the microwave for 60 seconds. And then it's like, oh my gosh, my grandmother's just rolling around. It's like, no, you don't know. It's like, what? Everything is now. I'm not busting on one of my kids because they love that thing, but it's just like, really, everything is now. It's got to be now. It's got to be. And so, but God, honestly, doesn't work that way. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but faith is a journey. See, we are concerned about what's happening to us, and God is more concerned about what's happening in us. Understand? And so Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and without, what's that word? Faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So important. Underline, earnestly seek him. Score it. Highlight it in your tablet or whatever device you're using. So important. Faith is just not an instant. Faith is a journey. I am fully persuaded with all of my heart that to truly understand healing, you need to understand faith. Amen. Right? And to shed light on this, I want you, we're going to go back to James chapter 5, right? And just the next couple verses, James chapter 5, right? We read verses 13 through 15. We're going to read 17 and 18. I want you to understand where this faith is a journey, okay? I want you to understand this. Elijah, and this, he's talking about all this, then goes into the story, right? And it catches my attention how, okay, he's talking about, you know, faith and sick and be forgiven and the sinned and the healed. And now he talks about Elijah being a human, even as we are, which is nice to know. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain and did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. These two sentences alone, you know, I believe that you need more details about this. So we're going to turn right here now to 1 Kings. Go to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And we're going to talk about this. Now, Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, this is King Ahab, all right? You got a word from the Lord. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years except by my word. Right? Elijah had been given a word from God. King Ahab was a nut job. He was a bastard. He was a bad king. And so God tells Elijah, tell him this. He had a word from God. He goes and he delivers that word, right? If you go and tell him this, he will turn from his wicked ways. So Elijah goes to Ahab and tells him, I got a word from God that it's not going to rain for the next 3.5 years, right? And I want you to write this down. I want you, if you're taking notes, because it's important. When it comes to understanding faith, faith begins with a word of God. Faith begins with a word from God. Amen. It's so important. You have to understand that faith begins with a word from God. In other words, you cannot grow in your faith journey without something on the inside of you that God has spoken to you. Like my son Nathan's back there. Nathan, right? Nathan, there comes a time where he has to stand on his own two spiritual legs. He can't ride the surfboard of grace on his mom and dad's faith any longer. He has to stand on, like he when he was little, he'd come in, daddy, my head hurts, or whatever. You know, he didn't talk like that. I don't know why. You know, but he's a dad, my head hurts. Like talking like a kid, I don't know. But dad, my head hurts, or, you know, my stomach is sick. You know, and so what do? We pray. We say, every disease you ever have, touch his body. Command sickness to go, right? Go to sleep, he'd be fine, right? Well, there comes a time where he can't just be a 35-year-old man coming to my house, coming to our house and saying, Mom, Dad, my tummy hurts. My tum-tum hurts. Can you please pray for me? No, he's got to stand on his own two feet. But guess what that means? That means he has to have the word of God real, alive, and alert on the inside of him. He has got to stand on his own two feet spiritually. But so many of us don't do that. So many in the church world, let's just say. Not everyone in this room. Everyone in this room, praise the Lord, is holy. Right? Everyone in this room is where they should be, right? Right? No. Right? Yeah. So we're talking about other people outside on, you know. So honestly, we rely on the word of others, but when the storms of life come, the challenges of life come, it is up to you. You can't quote Pastor Kathy. I mean, you can. It'll get you so far. You quote Pastor Sam, Pastor Nancy, you know. Well, I remember when Lisa in Grow class said this. Yeah, that might get you a little further down the road, but guess what? If you want to be planted, planted, where you're immovable, you're not being swayed to the right by this circumstance, and you're off track, you're swayed to the left by that circumstance. No, you know what the Word of God says, because the Word of God is alive on the inside of you, and there's only one way to get it, the Word of God for yourself. It's Mindy saying, you know what, I have to, Peter, right? Tiffany, I have to. Noreen, not looking at God when she's walking through the door, but not saying I have to, Miss Noreen. Everyone, I say, hi, Miss Noreen, right? It's Noreen. It's every single one of us looking and you know, picking up the Bible ourselves and having the Word of God become alive on the inside of us. Faith begins with a word from God. That's why we talk about, Pastor God, you got to read your Bible. And let me tell you, the quiet times in the morning are great. You know, a few minutes in the morning before you get your cup of joe and everything else. And it's actually, but you've got to read your Bible, and you've got to get a word from God. For you, for your family, every single one of our kids, there's a specific word, a specific direction. Well, I said, my kids, all three of our kids, Nicholas, he's just turned 20. Nathan's going to turn 19 here in a couple weeks. And Juliana, she's 16 going on 27. Dear Jesus, help me, right? And so, and, you know, and so, but each and every one of them, Pastor Kathy and I, we've had words of God. We have direction about their life from the time they were in the womb. And we stand on that. I pray on that. I pray about that. I stand on that because it's a word from God that God's shown me, shown Pastor Kathy. Have I ever shared it with them? This is what you're going to do? No. I've had one of my kids, please tell me what I'm supposed to do with my life. Please tell me. No. But the moment I tell you, you're going to do the opposite. Because when the challenges of life come, right? If it gets hard or difficult, what happens? Well, my dad said this. Way different when God says it. It has way more weight. It goes way deeper. The roots run way deep when it's God that tells you, this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. This is what he has planned for my life. You have got to let the Word of God come alive on the inside of you. So important. You know, it's important to be a church. It is. It encourages you. You know, maybe if you're challenging areas, and you know, God uses, you know, people. God uses the individuals in the parking lot, the ushers, the greeters. You know, God uses it's an opportunity to be used of God. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, it's important to be at nights of worship. It's important to take part in small groups, right? It's important to get involved in serving on the dream team. Those are all areas for you to grow. And we're talking about that faith is a journey. And sometimes rubbing shoulders with somebody, sometimes in the moment of worship, God speaks to you corporately. In corporate worship, God speaks to you, you know? But what weights that down is you knowing what the Word of God says. Because if you're in a moment of worship, I'm not going to pick something that's like, you know, Jack Sparrow kind of, you know, out there, right? If you're in a moment of worship and God says that you're going to be riding unicorns by the end of 2021, maybe 2020 might sound like maybe it worked, but maybe you're going to be riding unicorns in 2021, well, does that line up with the Word of God? No, but if you don't know the Word of God, hey, we've had murder hornet bees and asteroids that almost hit us, and we're in the middle of this corona thing, and you know, I mean, there's all kinds of craziness all around, you know? And so if you don't know the Word of God, you cannot filter things that the enemy could get trying to get you off your path or the world. That's the Word of God. It's like a sifter. It's there to protect you, not to give you rules and guidelines. It's there to protect you. just like the off button is there to protect Nancy, Miss Pastor Nancy. And then she said, but it's the on, I mean, it's like, it's there to protect us. But see, if we, here's, can I be truthful? I'm so off on this because I believe, you know, if we think that this book is only about rules and guidelines, you are not reading it enough. This is here to protect us. It's to protect us from the things of this world. It's to make us aware of the devices of the enemy. Because God ultimately wants you to fulfill your destiny. Because you've said, I've said it a billion, zillion times, you were created on purpose with a purpose for a purpose. Amen. You weren't created on accident, regardless of what anyone says. You were created to be here in the year 2020, right now, designed by God. It's so important that you take time to read and devour the Bible on your own. You have to train yourself to hear the voice of God through his word. That's the Bible, right? You have to learn how to hear the voice of God for yourself when you are in your own home. Can I be totally honest with you? It's so easy to hear the voice of God. I mean, say it's easier. Let's say that. Easier to hear the voice of God in this room. It's easier to hear the voice of God in a corporate atmosphere of worship. It's easier. But do that in your own home where you're comfortable, where you got to put down the Roku remote or the Apple remote to stop binging on Netflix and pick up the word of God. Woo! Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, right? Because when the storms of life come, when the challenges of life come, each and every one of us has to have the word of God hidden on the inside of our heart. And this is the visual that I got, and I wrote it down. This way, the word of God will rise up like the sun on a dewy morning, burning away all the fogginess to make your path clear again. And whenever you see that, you're driving in the morning and the dew's setting, the sun comes up and all that dew burns away and then your path is clear. Picking up the word of God does that. You need to read your Bible. Jesus said it like this, John 6:63, the words, talking about the Bible, that I've spoken to you are spirit as they are life. The word spirit here is the word pneuma, and it literally means as wind. You can't see wind. You don't know when it's coming, right? But when it arrives, guess what? It moves you. And Jesus is telling us that you and I, when we read our Bible, there's a sense that will be in your heart. And God can really, you will sense that. You will sense the word of God on the inside of you. And it will really, and that's when I believe God can really begin to work in your life. Right? Hebrews says it this way, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active. I love that version. The word of God, this is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That's the Bible. That's the word of God. It's alive. It's living and active. If you want, if you and I, if we make a habit of reading our Bible truly, right? It will do a work on the inside of you. And guess what? You will get words from God. You'll get direction for your life. You'll get words for your kids, you know, that you can just pray on. You know, take to the, you know, I'm telling you, I mean, it'll revolutionize your life. Some of your journey of faith begins, and that's what we're talking about, our journey of faith. Your journey of faith begins by reading your Bible and getting a word from God. And then there's others in the room, honestly, your faith will resume by reading the Bible and getting a word from God. Some of you have stopped reading the word. and you're found with these little doohickey too many devotionals on your phone. Where, guess what? Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that those devotionals are bad, but if that's all you're living on, come on. We know better. We don't even eat our food that way. We know it's time to eat. It's time to eat. You know, even if we're watching, if people are doing keto and this and that, they're being very particular. They're being intentional. But we're not being intentional with our spirit man or the word of God. That's the enemy trying to tell you, just, you know, you're fine. Just, you know, keep doing your little devotions, man. God's saying, I want more for you. I want to do more in you. I want to do more through you. Your faith journey will resume by reading and picking up the word of God and getting a word from God. Amen. And I'm going to land here. If the music ministry would make their way up. 1 Kings chapter 18, you know, and I want you to keep it on the screen as I discuss this, you know, back to the Elijah story, 3.5 years. Three and a half years end, and there's no rain. Elijah, you know, gets a little desperate and says, "Man, I need to get my face before God and start praying. And you know, there's got to be some rain because I told King Ahab, man, that there's going to be rain after 3.5 years." So he goes and he prays and he tells his servant, "Hey, man, go and check to see if there's any rain coming." And this is the process of faith that I want you to understand, the journey of faith. I used to tell when I was a youth minister for 11 years as a youth worker, 19 years as a youth pastor. I used to tell teenagers, you know, faith is when you need lunch money. And you believe in God for lunch money on Saturday night. You don't have any lunch money for Monday, but you believe in God. And Sunday comes, you believe in God. Sunday night comes, you believe in God. Monday morning, you believe in God. Monday passes. No lunch money. And then you say, you know what? I'm believing God for Tuesday. That's faith. That's how you walk out faith. You're still standing in faith. And here, let me give you an example of this. Right here, it talks about 1 Kings 18. It says, go back and look to the sea. He told his servant. And he went up and looked. There was nothing there. There's nothing there, church. He sent his servant 7 times. And these 2 words I want you to get. I pray that your spirit, maybe a word for you today. He told his servant to go back. Go back. Elijah was seeking God. Elijah told the servant to go back a second time. Elijah was in faith. Elijah told the servant to go back a third time. Elijah had a word from God. Elijah told the servant to go back a fourth time. Sound like anybody else in their life? God, you're not hearing me. God, I'm standing on this. I'm in faith. How come you're not hearing me? He may not be doing it in our time frame. It doesn't mean that he's not moving on our behalf. He sends his servant to go back a fifth time. And then he goes back. He tells him to go back a sixth time. How many of us would have given up by then? And I've seen it of over 30 years of being involved in ministry, how people would have given up on the sixth trip, not realizing that the seventh is where the answer was. So many people I have seen given up too soon. They just would have stayed in faith. Because the seventh time, the servant reported a cloud. I got some good news. I got some bad news, bro. Because a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, you know, it's a little cloud, no rain or nothing, but it's a little tiny little thing. So, you got a cloud, but it's not really big. And so Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops. Man, I'm telling you what, for some folks in the house this morning, some folks on the other side, man, don't give up. You need to go back to the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you just have to have faith. And you say, this is so much easier said than done. I'm telling you, right there is that, you know, understanding faith, faith continues regardless of what you see. Regardless of what you see, faith continues. Regardless of what I see, faith continues. Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Right? Hebrews 10, and I'll end with this scripture, 35 through 38. It says, so do not throw away. One version says, don't throw away your confidence. I like this version too. It says, don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. You know where that confident trust comes from? Having a word from God. Knowing, taking time. Time. Any relationship that we have, any relationship worth anything, started with time being invested into it. Am I right? Those of you that are married, right? Anyone that has children? How does that relationship strengthen? By time being spent together. Yet we're not doing that with God. We want to treat God like the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. We did our civil duty and we went to Chick-fil-A. Praise the Lord, it's God's chicken, but I want to get in and out. God is not Chick-fil-A drive-thru and shouldn't be treated that way. Remember, Hebrews continues, the great reward it brings to you. Patient endurance is what you need now. Two words that I don't like individually, much less together, is patient endurance. It's what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come on that and not delay. And that, let me just say that, that's not mine in your little while. That's God's little while. He goes on to say, my righteous ones will live by faith. This morning, and your faith is strengthened, stabilized, and that root gets deeper like an oak tree that doesn't get moved in a storm. By establishing your relationship with God through the Word of God. Amen. Listen, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity right now. I pray that what you've brought me to here in this message, that this is what this specific group of people here and online with us needed to hear. A little different from the first service. A little different from the 9 a.m. But I believe, Father God, that you had a word for the people in this room, the people that are watching online. And I thank you, Father God, that faith is established, that the importance of faith becomes real so that we truly can understand healing. And so, Father, I thank you for blessing the people of God, strengthening our faith in Jesus' name. Hey, listen, I don't know where your relationship with God is.